Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. With advances being made by atheism and humanism and the forces of evolution and other anti-God and anti-biblical philosophies, it is needful that we study again the reasons why we believe the Bible is the Word of God. Now, many believe that the Bible is a very unusual and remarkable book, but do not accept it as the Word of God. We agree that the Bible is unusual and remarkable, but that it is far more than that. We believe the Bible to be the verbally inspired Word of God. It is either that or is unworthy of being trusted in any sense because it claims to be verbally inspired Word of God. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all Scripture is inspired of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Friend, this asserts the Scripture not only to be inspired of God, God-breathed, but it is infallible, it is inerrant, it is authoritative, and it is all-sufficient. If the Scriptures mislead us in this all-important teaching, can we trust it on anything? Now, while men wrote the Bible, they did so as they were guided by the Holy Spirit. And if the Bible is not the Word of God, how could we ever obey 1 Peter 4 and verse 11 that commands us to speak as the oracles of God? How could we use sound words and sound speech that cannot be condemned, Titus 2 verses 1 and also 8? Thousands of times the Bible uses the words, "Thus saith the Lord," or their equivalent. And we have good reason to believe the Scriptures are God's Word. It is not blind faith or a leap in the dark to so believe, nor is it just a matter of hoping that it's true, but there is evidence that proves that we can know that it is the Word of God. Let us consider some of this evidence. Well, first of all, the Bible claims to be God's Word, as we have noted. It is reasonable that God would communicate with His creatures, is it not? It is unreasonable to think that God would not give a revelation that claimed to be from Him. We could not sensibly accept any book as God's Word that did not claim to be just that. Paul said he wrote what was revealed unto him, Ephesians 3, 1 through 5. His revelation was from God, Galatians 1 and verse 12. He spoke words that the Holy Spirit teacheth, 1 Corinthians 2, 12 and 13. That which the people in Thessalonica received was received as the Word of God, 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. The writers acknowledge that they wrote and spoke not of themselves, but from deity. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. Now, while this alone may not prove the Bible is the Word of God, the claim that it is should be expected. And the claim is there. We believe the Bible is God's Word because of the very existence of the Bible and the unity of it that shows it could not have come into being without a power greater than men overseeing its production. From the time the first part was written by Moses until the final chapters were penned by John, over 1,600 years had passed. Over 40 different men were used to write the Bible. These men not only lived in different periods of time, in different countries, they were of different occupations. Some were kings, and others were farmers, or fishermen. Some were soldiers, and others shepherds. Some wrote in Hebrew, some in Greek. From many backgrounds and positions came the writers of the Bible. They even wrote of different events. But when their work is brought together, it blends into a unified revelation of God's love for man and man's need for God, and God's plan to redeem man. And the central personality of the Bible is Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. And contrary to the claim of the skeptic, there are no contradictions and discords in the Bible. There is no need for rewriting and updating it. It is relevant to every people, everywhere, in every generation. All this exists without anyone having to compare notes as it was composed. There is no writing for which we have more ancient manuscripts than the Bible. No writing has such credentials for such unity as the Bible. It is like a group of unrelated artists painting a portion of a portrait, each unknown to the other. And yet when their work is put together, it forms a perfect picture. Anyone with reasoning ability must admit there has been an overseer throughout the entire production of this document, and that overseer is God. It is His book. Prophecy and the fulfillment of it is irrefutable evidence that the Bible is the Word of God. Prophecy sometimes means preaching, and sometimes refers to predicting or foretelling that of the future. True prophecy must extend beyond one's experiences that's making the prophecy, beyond his power to manipulate and control events, beyond his ability to foresee through natural means. True prophecy is not just a lucky guess or a coincidence. Prophecy is written before the event and is definitely applicable to a given event. The fulfillment must be plain and identifiable. And the Bible is overrunning with just such things. None of the prophecies are more assuring and interesting than those dealing with Christ and His kingdom. The Old Testament prophets foretold the birth of Christ, where it would take place, that His mother would be a virgin, that His home would be a despised place, that the events of His life and His miracles and His words, His parabolic teaching, they were all foretold. His betrayal and the price to be paid, His death, burial in a borrowed tomb, His resurrection, His kingdom and the coming of the Holy Spirit, over and over in the New Testament we read of the fulfillment of what the Old Testament prophets said. And there is but one explanation how men who lived hundreds of years before an event could predict it and within minute accuracy, even in matters over which they had no control whatsoever or no personal experience. The prophecy fulfillment element of the Bible proves that it came from a divine mind. And there is harmony between science and the Bible. Let it be known first and foremost that wisdom demands that we expect the Bible and science to harmonize. We accept the revelation of the Bible above the unproven theories of some scientists that are ever-changing and being updated. You know, what is discovered today often overturns what scientists said was true yesterday. But the Bible is stable and steadfast. Inasmuch as God created the world that science studies, and the Bible is His Word, we would expect harmony rather than contradiction, would we not? Friend, there are no facts of science that one must abandon in order to believe the biblical message. And while the Bible is not intended to be a science textbook, when Scripture refers to scientific matters, it speaks accurately, just as it does in matters of history, or geography, or other fields of study. Science has actually proven to be a friend of the Bible, especially in the area of archaeology. We realize that some theories of science that are neither proven nor compatible with what can be proven have often contradicted the Bible, such as the theory of organic evolution. Also, there have been many religious interpretations of the Bible that are false and that have been contradicted and proven to be wrong by scientific fact. But the errors of science and the errors of religion cannot be used to sustain a claim for a contradiction between true science and a true understanding of the Bible. As I said, archaeology has been a great friend of the Bible, uncovering many findings that either prove or corroborate the probability of what the Bible records. Do you know that names once found only in Scripture, and often denied by the skeptic, that is, they've been found on scrolls and tablets, such as the Hittites, or the man named Belshazzar? Lifestyles, as biblical records depict them, have been found in archaeological research. And particularly interesting is the specific accuracy when the Bible speaks of geographical and topographical matters. One does go down from Jerusalem to Jericho, even though one moves upward when looking on a map. And not until the 15th century did men prove the earth was round. But Isaiah wrote of the circles of the earth, Isaiah 40 and verse 22. And this was hundreds of years before Christ, without scientific instruments or experience or discovery to know for himself. How could he have known this, except the Creator informed him? And long before Matthew Fontaine Murray discovered the currents of the oceans, David had written of the paths of the sea, Psalm 8 and verse 8. It would be impossible for David, who lived in Palestine and was never a sailor, to have known this on his own. Long before telescopes proved the empty spaces of the north, the book of Job records, "He stretcheth out the north over empty space," Job 26 and verse 7. Of course, we would not expect contradiction between God's word and God's world. And, as we should expect, we find no contradiction, but only harmony when it is subjected to the close scrutiny of investigation. But another evidence that many overlook that the Bible is from God is the impartial way the Word of God deals even with its heroes. Oh yes, it reveals the greatness of Peter, but also his denial of Christ. It tells about Abraham, the father of the faithful, but it also tells about his faithlessness in lying concerning his wife. And the glories of Moses are amply related, but also his rebellion and his failure to enter the promised land. When men write solely on their own, they either play up the bias they have or play down their bias, whether they like or dislike the individual concerned. If the Bible were written by men, would they have written such strong denunciations against men who would presume to be as God's men? Can we think that men would perpetrate a lie in which the damnation of liars is so dramatically depicted as burning in the lake of fire and brimstone? Why, many things have been said regarding the writers of the Bible, but can it be shown that they were dishonest and self-contradictory men? Indeed not. The mind that would have forged such a document as the Bible would never have been capable of revealing such righteousness as is found in the Bible. And consider the brevity of the Scriptures. The whole account of creation is just 34 verses. Every major element of the universe is in 10 words. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. The fall of man occupies only 24 verses. Libraries overflow with men's comments on what the Bible says because of its depth and comprehension and the scope in just a few words. Certainly men would have included information that the Holy Spirit left out, such as where Moses was buried, and how Jesus appeared in the flesh, and the age of the apostles. The only way to explain the richness and spiritual value of the freshness and wisdom of the Scriptures is to attribute it to the mind of God. And one cannot omit consideration of the effect that the Bible has had on the world and on human behavior. And this has been true not just for a generation or so, but down through the ages. The message makes saints out of sinners. Can atheism claim that? It lifts men to higher and nobler levels of conduct and consideration for each other when followed. Can atheism claim that? Where the Bible goes and is respected, ignorance and poverty and fear and spiritual darkness are driven away. The impact of the Bible on education, on government, on morality and architecture, on literature and music and law and freedom, it is immeasurable. Nothing is more relevant and useful than knowledge of the Bible. And regardless of how much education one may have, he can never be considered truly educated until he has a knowledge of the Bible. Friend, an honest study of Psalm 119 will show any honest student the value of the Scriptures to the life of man in this life and in the next. And one final evidence we observe is the indestructibility of the Bible. Evil men have historically opposed the Bible, and they have sought to drive it from the minds of men. Only when people ignore the Bible can evil have its success, because the Bible runs contrary to greed and to hate and pride and neglect, sin after sin, and men have wanted to destroy it. In Jeremiah's day, the king Jehoiakim literally slashed it with a penknife and burned it. It has been attacked by pseudoscientists, by human philosophers who enlarge themselves as if their wisdom surpassed the wisdom of God. Mohammedan wars have been waged against it. The papacy has burned it and condemned it and kept it from their people, ridiculed it. When all else failed, they either discredit it with modernism or explained away those things that were against its system. Liberalism and pseudo-intellectualism wages war against the Bible even now. Voltaire once said, "In less than 100 years, the Bible will be discarded and Christianity swept from the earth." Do you know that a few years later, his very printing house was used as a distribution center for the Bible? We believe the sacred writing of Peter when he said, "The word of the Lord abideth forever." Last eve, I passed beside a blacksmith's door and heard the anvil ring the vesper chime. When looking in, I saw upon the floor old hammers worn with beating years of time. "How many anvils have you had," said I, "to wear and batter all these hammers so?" "Just one," said he, and then said with a twinkling eye, "The anvil wears the hammers out, you know." And so I thought, the anvil of God's word, for ages skeptics' blows have beat upon. Yet, though the noise of the falling blows was heard, the anvil is unharmed. The hammer's gone. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.